10:05 Thursday night.
Chodesh Elul, Shara Avodas Elokim, Perek Hamishi. We're up to Daf. What? Shara, what did I say? Shara Avodas Elokim. Shara Yichud Maisa. Sorry. Matt, I think I wrote on the list. I think I wrote down the whole line. Shara Avodas Elokim. Change everything to Yichud Maisa. Kufay and Tess, the new paragraph. Aval l'nira l'cha. The Chavis HaLovis just said, just got through saying that if you're having, if the battle is an intellectual battle, and there's an ideas introduced that are seemingly very rational and very convincing and very compelling, and the counter arguments are very rational, compelling, and intellectual. And so there's a litmus test, and be very, very suspicious if someone's trying to introduce a new hanhoga or a new shita or a new way of doing things that is not in our Masorah, that our forefathers have not done or rejected. He says, don't think that you, they thought of what you're thinking of also. Enkel chodesh tachas hashamesh, really, he says. And if they rejected it, they probably had very good reasons to reject it. They probably saw ramifications down the line that you didn't think of, and so on and so forth. So he really stresses the idea of Masorah in this battle of ideas. You know, many people work to reconcile science and Torah. That's a big topic, especially in the shul. At least not in the shul, but Nathan certainly works to reconcile Torah and science, and many hold it can't be reconciled. A lot of the elders can't be reconciled. It's taka, and there's no reason why it should be reconciled, and who says it has to stem? That's a shita that is out there, and you have to just have emunah. Some, like the battle of ideas out there, it's, you know, it's maybe not nogeya most of us, and it shouldn't be. Maybe it's bittul Torah for a lot of us, but these ideas are out there, and there's a lot of ferment and discussion. And another way of saying that maybe we shouldn't be bothered by the stira and just ignore the stira, just have a muna. Others put it really that we should just hang on to the Masorah. That since we have a Masorah, and we have a Masorah straight going back to Har Sinai, and a very strong Masorah, so that's also, we shouldn't be bothered by, again, that's a different like type of way, that's a different way of ignoring. Like, who says they have to be reconciled? It's not the stiras. I think Rabbi Matthew Solomon put it like in a rather public forum. He said, you don't have to answer every kasha. But yeah, the Muna. Either Muna or Masorah is really another, for some people, Muna is a little difficult if they can't understand it. But Masorah they're more comfortable with. If you tell them there was a Masorah, it's a Doire Doiris, that things were a certain way, then that they can accept, and you know, that's easier for them to accept. And that idea is certainly out there also. In fact, I was corresponding with someone, and it came up really that that's what the Chavis HaLovis is really saying here. After this whole page of an intellectual battle of ideas with Apikursus and Emuna and Kashas and Perutzim and Yetzirah and all kinds of Hatoyos that exist, he really says that the safety feature is the Masorah, and that should make you suspicious of new ideas, and that should make you reject ideas that that lo sa'orum avol seichem in the Lashon HaPasuk. So we discussed that there were, of course, exceptions to this rule. The most prominent that comes to mind in the last century is the Beis Yaakov movement, which was a real tremendously revolutionary chiddush, and really should have been rejected and was rejected in many circles on those grounds, Gufa. In other words, you can argue ad nauseum the pros and cons of such things. So the Chavis HaLodos would say, like, look at the Messiah, and, you know, they never did that before. But the Gedolim, like the Chavis Chaim, the Gerei Rebbe, Paskin, that things changed, and it must be done now, and that won the day, and here we are 100 years later, and they put us to shame in many areas. Okay, now the Chavis HaLodos goes on after he, like, anchored the idea of Mesorah and the idea of Chidushim. He goes on to talk about making takonis. What about if you want to be more machmir? What about if it's seen that there are gzeros needed, you have to ask for certain things, you have to conduct yourself a certain way? But if our forefathers didn't see the need to, why do we have to be more machmir than them? Right? If they were comfortable with ways, I don't know, like if you want to be more machmir in halachas, you want to, I guess even, I would say even things like, many times you'll hear that the fact that kollel is so widespread, it is a chiddush in toldos Am Yisrael, right? So some people indeed might say, oh, it's not a good thing, it's not supposed to be that way. It never was that way. But so there's always Sorech Shah, the Chavis HaLodos now is going to say, there's always Sorech Shah that necessitates things, and that's okay, because Aval Amir Lecha, but if it seems to you, L'chayev Atzmacha Bin Adava, that you have to do things, and so the first trap not to fall into is, and this is even a technical thing, that you have to, when you have a Drabonon, it's a technical thing. The Rambam says in the beginning of Sefer HaMitzvahs, the way you know you're not over, what saves you from Baal Tosef in every Drabonon, right? They're adding mitzvahs to the Torah. Drabonon made new mitzvahs. So, a little even technical, but that's what the Chavis HaLodos is saying also here with the word Benadava, is to realize that it's Benadava. So, step one is when you come up with new things, is not to fall into a trap of saying it's, you're obligated to do it. It's b'chuyas. It's the oraisa. Right? Even the technicality of the Rambam is what saves you from Baal Tosef is the realization that it's a drabona. And Baal Tosef is if you say that you're b'chuyas, we're adding mitzvahs to the Torah. And it's a Torah obligation. So the first thing is, and you realize it's an adava. You realize that you're making a siog. You're making a gender. And it's not the isser itself. The mitzvos, the kamoshetuchal, the midas chasidus, realizing that it's a midas chasidus, that you're, and it's an appropriate thing to do. Achar should, it's an appropriate thing to do midas chasidus, as he's about to say. Sometimes it's necessary, and he's going to say in a few lines that many times, if you don't make gedorim and you don't make chumras and you don't make takonis, before you know it, you've lost the mitzvah itself, because there is the Torah itself speaks asu mishmeres l'mishmarti, asu siog l'Torah, and this is something he says you're not going against the Doros HaKoyimim. The Doros HaKoyimim approved of doing such things. They said you should do this. This is an appropriate course of action. So you shouldn't think, well, why should we do it? They didn't do it. If you see a need, you go ahead and you do it. This is right. Chumras, mitzvahs, gedorim, siyogim, achar shetamale chovos amutolos alef. Oh, this is step two. It is, you know, someone who want to be machmer, and this happens quite often. I don't know if an example maybe will come to mind, but if not, you know, people are machmer and they do things, and then they end up not doing their ikar chiyuv. Like they're so focused on the chumrah that they'll violate the basic chiyuv, like we had today. They're so focused on davening Psukah Dezimra properly, not being mahapech bitzinoros, not messing up the pipes, as the shavur brings down. So they'll do that, and then they'll miss Tefillah B'Tzibur. And so that they switched the tuffel for the ikker. So that's another danger that the Chaim HaLevavos is saying. That's only you have to watch out for. First of all, you have to realize it's nadava. You have to have the right perspective on it and realize it's not ikker adin. You're making a siyog. Step two is achar shetamali chovos hamutolos olecha. Don't substitute the chumras. Don't substitute the ikker adin for the chumras. And like you'll be so. Like the Hasidim were accused of this very much when they first started. Besides that, they were accused of coming up with a revolutionary thing that was unheard of and violating like the first part of the Chayim HaLevavos. But just the very fact that the Hachanas for davening, right? And they missed Zman Kriyas was on tefillin. It was a big taina on them. And that's the type of thing he's talking about, that they were so focused on, we'll call that a siyog and a geder, that they felt it was necessary to prepare oneself for davening, the oimed lufnei hamakom. And while you're doing that, you're missing Zman Kriyas Shema Tefillah. So that's what you're like, so you're missing Chovos HaMutolos on that. That's number two. Number three is Vachar Sheyoskam B'Sichlucha. It has to be rational. Like, calm down. Don't be emotional about it. Don't go join PETA because you're worried about Tzar Bali Chaya. You have to make sure that it makes sense. That it's a rational thing to do, that it won't do more harm than good. You have to think it through with your seichel. Don't gravitate towards chumras and siyogim because it's emotionally satisfying. That's the third condition that the Chaim HaLevavos puts down. Achar sheyoskam b'sichlucha. Then he says, wait, before I go to the next three words, another aspect of Achar Sheyoskam B'Sichlucha is probably what the Mesillas Yesharim calls Mishkal HaChasidus. I don't know if Eilim is acquainted, but Mesillas Yesharim talks a lot about Midas Chasidus, doing things with Nimishur Sadin, going beyond the letter of the law. But then he has an Arichus about what he calls Mishkal HaChasidus, that you always have to judge every action has a reaction. And again, like you might be running to do a mitzvah and you're stepping on people's toes, both figuratively and literally. And you always have to have Mishkal HaChasidus. Sometimes it's kedai to do certain things. Sometimes you have to realize it's not kedai. It'll make someone feel bad. I mean, the Mitzvah Shem is Meirik on this. He calls it Mishkal HaChasidus. When you're not talking about obligations, then you really, really have to have a good grasp on yourself and on the situation, and you have to be objective, and you have to use a lot of seichel. Vachar sheyoskam b'sichlucha, because Rabbah says three words, and Mesillas Yesharim, and Chasidus has a huge thing, and he gives a lot of examples from Tanakh and from Gemara about Mishkal HaChasidus, when it's kedai, because when you're going beyond the letter of the law, then you have no excuse to, if it has ramifications that are not so good, so you should do it. You have to have a Mishkal HaChasidus. Is it kedai to do it if it'll lead to things that are not so good? So that's another aspect. Don't go with your emotions. Go with your seichel. So we said two ramifications of that. Then he says a very powerful thing. He says, V'yiyeh neged yitzrecha. That's Kapach's translation, Rav Kapach's translation. You neged yitzrecha. You shouldn't enjoy it too much. He says, if you want to do it too much, then you have to be afraid. You're doing it lehisyaher. You're doing it for kavod. You're doing it for gaiva. You're doing it for one-upsmanship. When you do things that are siyogim and chumris, you have a special responsibility to make sure that it's lishma, that you're doing it for the reason because you want to be a yirei chet. You are a yirei chet, and you know that if you don't do this, so in a couple of days or weeks or months, chalila, you're going to be pogeya in an Aveira itself, in an objective Aveira. But you have to do it for the right reason. And many times, people do such things, as I say, for kavod, for one-upsmanship, to be, you know, with a siyaher, so you have to have good intentions. Also, it should be outside. It should be for that. So that's you negative tzrecha. You shouldn't want to do it too much. There's a famous story, which, if I hear of a story, I always think it's famous, because I usually don't know stories. So say, if I know it, it must be famous. That the Chaim Volozhin, you know, he had this whole thing with the yeshiva. He wanted to institute yeshivas. That was a revolution. And he went to the Gra for permission, and he told him his whole plan. And he showed him the plans, not the architectural plans, the spiritual architectural plans. And the Gra said no. At least, I don't know if the story's true or not, but it doesn't matter, it has a message. And the girl says, no, don't do it. And he came back like a year later, the story goes, and the girl says, yeah, okay. And like, what changed in this year? He says, you were a little too excited a year ago. Like, you wanted to do it too much. And the thing is, you know, that's not a good thing to do. Now you're more calm, you've calmed down, you don't have such a strong burning desire to save the world. So, now you can go do it. So, if the story is true or not, it doesn't matter, but it certainly stems with this point of the Chayvus Halvavus, that it should be neged yitzrecha, very, very powerful. It should be against your will. Very powerful. So what are the four things he says? You're allowed to be mechayv yourself in a dava, chumras, and siyogim, and midos chasidus is, and beyond the letter of the law, and he's going to say in a few lines that, and you should. And then in another few lines he's going to say, and you really have to, or else you're living a very dangerous life if you don't do that. And va'asus yod l'Torah is an imperative, and going beyond the letter of the law is an imperative. But you got to do it the right way. The right way is to realize it's nadava. The right way is to make sure it doesn't impede your fulfillment of the objective chov that exists. Make sure it's rational, not emotional. I'll add to that, make the Mishkal HaChasidus of the Mesillas Yesharim, which is part of, use your seichel. So I'm interpreting that as saying two things. Make sure it's rational, not emotional, and make the Mishkal HaChasidus of the Mesillas Yesharim. And it should be neged yitzrecha. You shouldn't get too excited about it, because then we have to suspect. You have more of a responsibility to make sure it's lishma. Harezer tov. So then you can do it. That's not all these are side points that I'm interpreting. His main point is, don't worry that the Doris before you didn't make such chumras and such siyogim. When it comes to these things, so you know the weaknesses of that door, etc., and then you can do it. And they themselves said, Asus Yad Vatara. V'yesh l'cha sachar al-kach. V'ein l'cha chore. You're not moving away. Mishitas harishoyin and v'kach. U'kvar amru. They themselves said, Asus Yad Vatara. V'omru. Now he... Fair piece. He then brings from a different Gemara. So far, so good. That makes a lot of sense. Now he brings from a different Gemara that you should be in this. V'omru, and they said, Chazal said, V'tnei ma chorva Yerushalayim, V'tnei shadonu bo din Torah, So he's comparing this to Asus Yad Torah. In other words, if you took this Gemara in a vacuum, you wouldn't really think it has anything to do with Asus Yad Torah. Saying that you should go beyond the letter of the law, it's talking there in Benot Machadeiro, really. I guess you go with Nimishura Sadin. So, but I guess that's an interesting way of looking at it. In other words, I would think it has no shaykhis, like the Sushyog with Torah is like Chumras and Siog, making sure you're not Oiber. And then the Nimishura Sadin is a different concept. And I'm like, what is Yitzush telling? Different kind of Nimishura Sadin means like the spirit of the law as opposed to the letter of the law. What does it have to do with making a siyog? But So it could be he doesn't even need to compare them. He's just giving another example of going beyond the letter of the law. Another, a different way of going beyond the letter of the law. I guess that's the Pashup Pshat. His point is you can go beyond the letter of the law, even though the Doris before you have not done that, because they approve of such behavior. The Chazal themselves encourage doing that. So one example is Asus Yoglu Torah. Maybe this is the Pashup Pshat. And another example is this din in the Gemara in Bava Metzia, that you should do things lefnim yishuras hadin. It's referring to hanhagos benogam lachavero. So that's another example. So you'll say, but you know, maybe the earlier doyrus they didn't. But if you're not being so sere, I guess the point is you're not saying you know better than the doyrus or yishayim. This is something, you know, that you have the right to do. You're not contradicting anything that anything that you're not contradicting the Mesoira if you decide to do with Nimishura Sadin. That's considered exemplary behavior. That's considered proper and appropriate behavior. It's not objective, I guess, so you can't really, maybe that's the point. You know, the earlier Chazal also approved of it. You can't point to any specific behavior and say, do this, don't do this, because every situation will call for its own lifnim mishuras hadin, and maybe it'll be beyond, it'll be unreasonable. Like, lifnim mishuras hadin also has gedarim. It just doesn't mean, you know, someone owes you a chayiv. Be meichel, lifnim mishuras hadin. There's no such halacha, there's no such hanhaga taiva even. Unless he's poor, maybe, and he's having trouble making ends meet, so you're not mechuyev to be meichelit. But you wouldn't call that the finisher sadin. You would call that giving stock. That's not called the finisher sadin. But that's the point of Chaim Zalman. But to do the finisher sadin, that's another. So we'll learn that. That's Pashup Pshat. That's another example of a hanhaga taiva that is not necessarily imitating or copying or doing what the doyers before us did, but they approved, they themselves approved of such behavior. I mean, they should have also done it, that they themselves also did the thing before us. That's what they, I mean, bringing in this chazal means they approve of it, and they also did it, but it's always going to take on different forms, so you can't really point to anything and say they did it, they didn't do it. You have to do the thing before us. The pshat in the Meimah Chorv Yerushalayim that they shemidu devrayim al din Torah v'layosu l'fnim mishuras hadin. I mean, the basic pshat of that is said already by the Achrayim that the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Midas HaRachamim, is strengthened when you act with zitur, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu will overlook things, so to speak, whatever it means in Shemayim to overlook. If you overlook things, so avada chorva Yerushalayim because of the averus that they did. But if they would have been mevater on their rights and not insisted on their rights, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu also would have been mevater or mochel or chatayim or whatever form the salvation would have taken place, would have taken. But since they didn't, so the midah k'neged midah was that Hashem also acted with them, not lifnim mishuras hadin. So that's the Pashup Pshat in Gemara. Now, Chaim Zalovitz gives a third example, which I talked about in Shul and in Russia, but in learning Chaim Zalovitz, it's like, this is Takeshver. This was even harder to understand. What's the connection? He now talks about chesed, just doing chesed. Siyog LaTorah, we know what that means. So Siyog LaTorah, make a Mishmeres, make a Siyog, make a Gzeira, make a Takona, good. Lefnim Mishuras Hadin, we know what it means. It means that don't always stand up to your rights. You have a neighbor, and you're technically correct that he's not allowed to plant whatever he wants to plant, or that you are allowed to plant whatever you are planting, and it bothers him. Do Lefnim Mishuras Hadin. You don't have to always insist on your full rights. But then he talks about just doing chesed. And the importance of doing chesed. Kaloisa Kutorah Balabad Doina Kamisha Aimlay Aloika, we spoke about that. Shanema Vyom and Rabam the Israel Alo Alokay MS, Alomada Toshain Alokay MS Alabatorah Bamilus Hasodim. So the Marsha explains that the also Rashi there also says that what does it mean Lalo Alokay MS? Rashi says Lahogain Alehem to protect you from Midus Hadin. So the Marsha explains. Also, if you want to call forth Midos HaRachamim, which is Midos HaChesed in a sense, so if you do acts of Chesed, it calls for that. So you can't just call Isaac the terrible of that, but it can be shame like that, you know. That doesn't call for the Midos HaRachamim. You want the Midos HaRachamim, you have to go out there and be Isaac in the Midos Chesed. So now, what in the world does that have to do with this line of thinking? You know, we talked about Siyad Vatayri, we talked about the Mishur HaSadin. Chesed is Chesed. So, according to the Chafetz Chaim, I spoke about Drasha, so you could say the Chafetz Halbavis means that extra Chesed that Abaye did over Rava. Technically, you can get away with Rava's Hanhaga, that he strictly limited himself to Chesed that was Efshar Lasos HaGadei Acherim on a basic level. But once it was Efshar Lasos HaGadei Acherim on a basic level, so he didn't do it. He sat and learned. He didn't want to. He considered that Bittul Torah. Abaye. So it's like also beyond the letter of the law. Now, the Abaye went to do Chesed beyond the. He felt that, since he would accomplish more than an average Joe that's doing the Chesed, so it becomes Yeshua Lassasari of the Acherim. And in Mela, he has to do it, and he should do it. So that's what Abaye did. So because this Gemara is also not talking about someone that's doing an Avera and is not doing Milas Chasodim. This Gemara in Abu Dazara's Pashto is talking about like Abaye and Rava, that Rava or Rava was Oisik just in Tahir, and Abaye was Oisik in Tahir, Milas Chasodim. It's not talking about that the person didn't do Milas Chasodim, Ba'if and Avera, when he was Mechuyiv to do it, because it was Yevshul Asasad Yadei Acherim, and he didn't do it. That, then you don't need a Ravuna to tell me, Kaloisik Betar Levad Doim and Kamishen Le'aloika. The guy was Oisik Redinish Shulchan Aruch, you know. Nothing to talk about. We don't have to give big drushes here. So he's talking about probably something like Abaye and Rava, and we have the Chafetz Chaim's interpretation of the, we'll call it Machlokes Abaye and Rava. The Chafetz Chaim makes a ringing pronouncement that in Shemayim they paskened like Abaye, because they gave him 20 more years of life. So they paskened he's right, but that's called, but that's beyond, I mean, every chesed is beyond to a certain degree. This is really something everyone has to struggle with, even in, you know, basic chesed. You're always struggling with, like, you know, I know right now that if I close my Gemara and drive down to Shaarei Chesed or Bikacholim, or, you know, a lot of chesed I can do. I'm sure. Right now it's not in my orbit. But if I would go there, I could spend the whole night doing chesed. And any time someone asks you to do a chesed, and it takes up, let's say, it's not poshut, you have to ask a shayla. It's a shayla many times. Let's say somebody asks you to do a chesed, and it's a chesed because he'll save a half hour. That's the chesed. That's ultimately the chesed, it'll save him a half hour. But it'll take you a half hour. So, is that chesed? Or is that chayecha kodman? You're not mechuyev to do chesed if it's, if it'll cost you the same that it would cost him. So I'm not paskening shilas now. Everything has to be dealt with. These are shilas. These are real, very difficult shilas. My point is that that's another interpretation I would give the Chayvus Halbavis. No, it's a pellet to me that the Chayvus Halbavis just starts talking about chesed out of nowhere. What does that have to do with anything? So, according to the Chafetz Chaim, it's a little better, because he's talking about the chesed of Abaye, which is beyond the letter of the law, perhaps. Then I'm pointing out another way of looking at the Chodesh HaLevavos. This is like, what's he throwing in chesed for? That really every chesed is sort of beyond the letter of the law to a degree. Because it's always a balance. You always, like, you can probably figure out why you don't have to do it. It's costing you time. It's costing you kaiches. It's costing you money. Like, what's... It's costing you something. Somebody has to do a chesed, and even if people say, can you do me a favor, talk to that guy, you know, maybe he could hire me, maybe give me a job, and, you know, and people don't want to do it so quickly. Why? Because it really costs them. It costs sometimes it costs them, like, they're using up their credits by the guy. Somebody has to speak to someone to get him something, and you're using up your credits by him. You're using up your tayvus hanah. Let's say he owes you a favor. Like, I don't know if I want to use up the favor he owes me on the other guy. I want to save it for myself. I might need him someday. And by this happens every day, Rabosai. I mean, these things come up. So am I mechuyev to do it or not? Is that a real feeling? Or is it just a faginished? I want to save it for myself. So, in a certain sense, to be a Baal Chesed, although this is saying, to be a Baal Chesed, you really many times have to have the nature of a lefin mishuras hadin person, a person that's going beyond the letter of the law. Don't sit and make these calculations. When someone asks you to do something, you say, well, okay, it's going to save you 14 minutes, but it's going to cost me 13 minutes. So I don't know. So to be a Baal Chesed, you really perhaps always have to look beyond a certain stinginess of mabat, of perspective, and have more of a nefesh rechava, of a nimishuras adin, spirit of the law type nature, to be a true Baal Chesed. Maybe that's why the Chodesh HaLevavos lumps it together with the other two examples. Okay.